And welcome to Ollie's at the Wheel, and it is a special with me, your boy, my boys, and my favourite octogenarian, Carl Pierce. How are you doing, my friend?
Hello, yes, I'm very well, thanks. Yeah, no one else wanted to join us today, so just us two.
Yeah, honestly, I know. Like, do you think it's something I said? It's probably something I said, right?
I don't know. But I'm sure they'll listen to this podcast and decide that they'll never leave us alone ever again.
Yeah, true. I mean, the only reason you're here is because we begged you to come, because I was going to do a podcast just all by myself, which I think would actually be really entertaining, personally, but...
I don't know. I've listened to podcasts, and most recently, what culture woman? Everyone was away or on holiday or something, and one person was trying to do it on his own, and it just doesn't work because they've got no one to bounce off on, you know, bounce off, and they're sort of talking to you like you're almost there, not listening. So there's, you know, it sort of makes sense in a way, and it's very odd, and it's not terrible, but it's certainly not half as entertaining as if there's a couple of people talking to each other and making jokes and whatnot.
Absolutely, because when people think of entertainment, they think of my jokes.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, and to be honest, I mean, I love bouncing off you. But I also like podcasting with you as well.
I knew you were going to say something.
Yeah, you set yourself up for it.
I did.
But yeah, we're actually supposed to be talking about football, which I completely forgot about for about a minute. But that's apparently what we're here supposed to... That's apparently what we're supposed to do. So I thought, because we're feminists and, you know, we support women, right? I love women, absolutely. And there's a Women's World Cup on, so I think we should talk a little bit about that. You've seen a lot of the games, right?
Well, I've seen a few of the England games because of the time difference. They're either on, been on a bit too early, or when I've been at work.
Yeah.
But I have tried to watch what I can. Obviously, if they were on a more convenient times, then I would have probably watched a bit more.
Yeah, the one today was fairly convenient. It was kind of, it was midday, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, kicked off at 11. I was at work. Luckily, I live quite close to work, so I was able to dash home at half time and catch the second half on my lunch break, which worked out quite nicely, and I listened to the first half on the radio.
Yeah, so the day we were recording this, we just beat Australia 3-1. Eh? Come on, England. And the goals were really good quality, because I've a lot of what I've heard about this World Cup, I've kind of heard that in terms of England, we haven't always played very well, but obviously, you know, we've won every time. But I mean, the goals this time were just quality. I mean, Russo looks like a hell of a player. Hemp looks like a hell of a player.
Yeah, exactly. And Ada Toome, we know what she's capable of. I mean, she scored a world-class goal in the Euro final, which England won, and a really good strike in today's game in the first half. But yeah, the quality is just improving year on year and tournament on tournament. And yeah, I watched the Nigeria game, and I don't think England played terrifically well. And if I'm completely honest, I think they got quite lucky squeezing through that game. But that's what you need. And that's the sort of thing that when you're watching the men, they don't get. If that was the men playing, they'd have probably found a way to have lost that match and go out. But somehow the women, despite having Lauren James sent off, and quite rightly so, it has to be said.
Yeah.
They still find a way to get through.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, you know, the back three seems to work better for today, from what I've heard, and it seems like we're pressing a lot better. Again, I've only seen clips of it, but it seems like we have a bit more of a coherent team, especially compared to other years as well.
It's going to be a difficult decision for Serena Wiegmann to bring Lauren James back in after that performance, to be honest.
Mm. Yeah, but I mean, she's so talented. It's
yeah.
It's a difficult one.
But it could upset the balance of the side because, you know, they play so well today. Do you risk upsetting that by sticking her back in the side? I mean, you'd definitely have her on the bench to come on, but would you be starting her?
Mm.
I always think in tournaments like this, it's important to to keep a consistent team and stick with what's working.
Yeah, I completely agree. And obviously, Spain is on Sunday. I know, is it Patelas? Mm. I don't know how to say her name. Patelas, is that right?
I couldn't tell you. You know, I might be pronouncing names, so I'm probably not the right person to ask.
Yeah, Alexia. I think Alexia is a bit more simple. But obviously, she's, you know, I believe she's won the Ballon d'Or for the past 2 years. Actually, I believe she's the most Ballon d'Ors of anyone still playing in Europe, which is a bit of a weird... a bit of a weird statistic considering, you know, Messi and Ronaldo are gone now. So I think she's going to be someone to look out for because I assume she's been playing.
Yeah, definitely. They look a good team, and it's both teams' first final. So they're both in World Cup final anyway.
Yeah.
So they're both in the same boat in that area. I think it is a big thing for England, though, to beat Australia in their own backyard. So I think that's going to give you a lot of confidence. And if you can do that, you are capable of beating Spain in the final. I'm not saying they will do, but the confidence has got to be high. And Serena Wiegmann is very good at getting, you know, tactics and gameplay spot on. For me, she's one of the best coaches in Europe, you know, male or female.
That's quite a claim, but I mean, I won't disagree with you at all.
I mean, record speaks for herself. I mean, she won the Euros with the Netherlands. She got to the World Cup final with Netherlands, just losing out on 2-0 to the United States. Retained the European Championship with, well, you know, won it again with England, but as a coach, you know, retained it. And then got to another final with England today. That's four straight finals. He's done that recently.
Yeah, that is insane. Cause I think the only real in terms of recent success, the only really person I can really think of is Mancini, maybe, in terms of, like, you know, that level of an international coach. But I mean, international coaching is such a difficult and different skill compared to club coaching.
Yeah, it really is, because you're not with the players day in, day out like other, you know, club coaches. And also you're bringing in players that play against each other most weeks as well, and having to mould them into a cohesive unit, which, you know, Wiegmann's done outstanding. You know, England were always these sort of nearly team, and she's moulded them into a team of winners that never seem to know when they're beaten.
Yeah, and it feels like we do have a really good chance on Sunday, and I really hope we do, to be honest.
Mm.
But it's very cool how kind of a lot of the names, you know, you read about them and you know who they are. Like, you know, we know who Sam Kerr is, we know who Russo is, we know who Hemp is. It's nice to see that, you know, we know these names now. The sport is definitely growing, and I think that's just really nice to see. I feel like the talent and level is growing as well.
Oh yeah, definitely. And the more, the better. I think the better the teams like Arsenal and Chelsea and City have done in the Women's Champions League has also helped grow the Women's Super League in this country, and helped with, you know, with the growth of the sport. And I also think this is going to sound arrogant, I know, because I'm a Man United fan, but like it or not, we are one of the biggest brands in football, and I think us finally getting a women's team going and challenging for the title, which we did this year, I think that's also been a big help for the women's game as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it helps as well having, you know, like I said, it's such a big fan base, and now, you know, you're all kind of, you automatically have a team to support with for women, you know, whereas before you might have had to, well, I don't know, you probably would have, I doubt you would have supported the Arsenal women's team.
Just didn't have a women's team. Just, we didn't really think about women's football that much, just moaning that, you know, it's well overdue that we had a side.
Yeah, absolutely. And hopefully this can kind of inspire more kind of funding, better training. I mean, I remember a few years ago, I think it was maybe the Olympics or one of the European finals, but some of the athletes were showing kind of the stuff they got when they arrived at the hotels. And I mean, it was like candy bars and like, you know, an exercise band. And when you compare that to how the men's team has been, you know, it shows the kind of disparity. And I hope they kind of narrows a bit. I hope they kind of get more sponsorship. I hope they kind of get more better training, because then I think we'll see how good they can be. And, you know, it may take a few years, but they could definitely get close to the men's level, I believe.
Yeah, it's growing and growing, and it's getting bigger and more competitive year on year. And I think it will catch up with the men's game eventually. It might not be in my lifetime. Hopefully, well, hopefully I've got another 40 years left in me, but I do think it will get there eventually.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's still, you know, it's positive seeing them sell out the Emirates, you know, recently. Well, I'm pretty sure they sold out the Emirates, I'm pretty sure.
But not far off. I mean, and we've come close to selling out Old Trafford. Okay, they do the tickets a bit cheaper, but, you know, that's fair enough if it gets people through the door.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, if it helps the atmosphere, it makes for TV a lot more watchable as well. So I really hope they kind of get some kind of television deal, because I think that'll bring a lot more money. And I mean, maybe people would be opposed to that because of how men's football has gone over the years, but I think it'd be really good for them personally.
Yeah, well, I mean, they do get broadcast on BBC and Sky, I think, at the moment. Some games do.
Yeah, that's true. It'd be nice to see all of them personally. But yeah. But anyway, we should also talk about the return of the Premier League. Both our teams had our first games.
Yeah. Okay, Reece, you can switch on now, mate. We're back to men's football.
Yep. You can skip to 12 minutes in and you'll be fine, mate, don't worry. I probably should have said that earlier. But yeah, I mean, we had very stress-free matches. I don't think you can say that. We'll start with Arsenal, because I think it was a bit more of a boring game. The first half was kind of very, I mean, we were really good. We barely let them out of their half. We suffocated them at every turn. Some great goals from Nketiah and Saka. Martinelli with his back heel kind of roulette assist, which I've never seen someone do, but it's just very him. And yeah, and then, you know, second half was a bit more dull, and then suddenly it got very tense when Elanga just ran the length of a pitch, then tapped it to their striker, and I was like, oh shit.
I mean, why couldn't he do that when he was playing for us? Normally he'd make some sort of balls up at the end of it. I also, though, unfortunately, I was working, so I didn't see the full match. I have watched highlights. There was an early chance by Johnson in the first half, which looked very close, to be honest.
Yeah, that was quite concerning. I mean, I think Ramsdale does very well, even if it won't go down as a save, but he makes it a lot more difficult for him. And I mean, Johnson definitely fluffed his lines, though.
Yeah, I think you can class it as a save if the goalkeeper does enough to sort of put, you know, narrows the angles down and does enough to put the player off personally. That's what they're there to do. You can't always save it with your hands and feet, but, you know, that's what Schmeichel was always famous for, making himself big. And but yeah, that was all like the main, as I say, because I only watched highlights, unfortunately. That looked like the main chance they had in the first half. And yeah, they were really good goals. Both very different goals, but both very good goals. And Nketiah looks like he's going to, you know, start the season where he was finishing last season when he came in with Gabriel Jesus. He looked really good and scored quite a few goals until I put him in my fantasy team. And then he stopped scoring. All of a sudden,
I bet you he's not going to score for like the next five games, and then whenever we're playing United, he's going to score again.
But yeah, great screamer of a goal by Saka into the top corner. He looks as good as ever. So
he's unreal, yeah. Isn't he? Yeah.
Rice had a sort of half decent shot on goal.
I was really happy with him. I thought defensively.
Did you think he had a good performance?
I think so. I think defensively he kind of snuffed out danger before it even began.
Mm.
Actually, Kai Havertz also did very well, really good at that. I know he's got a lot of stick, but I quite like him. But yeah, Rice, you know, I know he's people moaning for price tag, but I'm just so happy we have him. To be honest, he's barely played any games for us, and he's already adapting. And I just think he's perfect. You know, I love him. I love him. Oh. But yeah, all good. I mean, we had a little bit of a late scare at the end when Elanga, you know, tore our defense apart. But for the most part, it was pretty positive and pretty chilled out. And yeah, that was the Arsenal game. I think we're playing Crystal Palace away next, which could be interesting.
Yeah, the London derbies are never as straightforward, are they?
No, but I mean, I'll back my team to win.
I would expect you to win.
Yeah, but yeah, I think we will.
Stranger things have happened.
We are Arsenal after all. But one thing before we move on, a bit of sad news is that looks like Timber might be out for the whole season.
The whole season? Oh gosh.
Potentially.
I didn't realise it was that bad.
Yeah, I think the potential timescale is 6 to 9 months, so he could miss the whole season, which honestly would be...
I do think they sort of give the worst-case scenarios. Because how old is he?
I think he's 21, 23 maybe.
Yeah, I think, I'm not a doctor, obviously, but I think there's a possibility he could be back before the end of the season. Young people do tend to heal, especially elite athletes, quicker than your average person.
Yeah. I mean, he's 22. It kind of reminds me of someone sent me a clip of John Cena returning of a Royal Rumble. And I kind of hope that's what it's like. He just kind of pops out of nowhere and he's like, oh, I'm back now.
You do like to play your... I can hear myself on your thing. There seems to be a bit of back.
Oh, really?
It's gone now, but before I could hear a bit of noise. I don't know the word is.
Kind of feedback, kind of.
Feedback, yeah. That's the word I was looking for.
Okay, is it okay now?
Yeah.
Okay.
It'd be funny if they bring him on and they play do, 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 do.
It's going down. It's yelling timber. Yeah.
Or play that. Yeah, that'd be even be better.
That'll be suitable for him. But it seems to be a lot of ACL injuries going on. I don't really know what's happening.
Yeah, it's very strange.
Yeah, I mean, what was that? Is Militao? I think Courtois as well. And Mings. It's really weird how this is suddenly popped up.
My dad's theory is that because they make the football boots so light these days, they don't offer the feet and ankles enough support.
That's an interesting theory, actually.
I mean, because I remember one time they introduced these really light boots and everyone started breaking their metatarsals. So, you know, there might be something in that. I don't know, but it does really pacey players do seem to suffer from these sort of injuries, don't they?
Yeah, I wonder if maybe like the grip, because I wonder if like if it's not gripping enough and then the knee kind of goes at a weird angle when it's not supposed to.
Because weren't the women having issues with this as well, and they were linking it to period. Was it something like that? Am I getting that right?
I can't remember if it was linked to periods, but I remember. Yeah, I mean,
it's linked to somewhat weird. I thought I don't know about the science and that, but as I say, I'm not. I don't know enough about medical stuff to dismiss it or say it's true. But it seemed a bit of an odd thing to come out with.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's like a new... I mean, it might be the amount of games they're playing. I mean, it is weird. I mean, Arsenal women, I think they had 4 ACLs last year, which is quite a lot.
There it is, isn't it? Yeah. That's another thing, an interesting point, what we're talking about, how many years. What did you think about Varane's statement?
I think he is. I think he's exactly right, to be honest. I mean, he's been around football for a long time. Is he 28 now? 30?
Somewhere in that bracket, isn't he? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think they're playing way too many games. I mean, how long has it been since England last played like our qualifying? It's been less than 2 months, right? You know, and then suddenly you're back in pre-season and you're expected to play 60 games. I don't know. It just seems.
And I honestly think that's why we started to fall off a little bit towards the end of last season, because I know we finished third eventually, but we were quite close to Union City at one point, but we ended up, we were playing like at least two games a week, every week. And it was quite a thin, you know, quite a thin squad really last season, especially with regards to the players Ten Hag actually trusted and wanted to play. So we were sticking to a lot of the same players, and I think it was knackering us up towards the end of the season.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's probably the same with a lot of people. I feel like City's super strength is the size of their squad. You know, as long as they don't get any major injuries, they kind of have, you know, three players who can play in different positions, and most of them kind of stay fit most of the time. And obviously Arsenal, we didn't actually have that many injuries, but obviously Saliba was kind of one we couldn't really replace.
Grant Holding just couldn't fill that void, could he?
No, he couldn't. But I think that Varane's statement is, I think he's pretty right. What is your opinion on it?
Yeah, I've got to agree with it. I mean, it'll probably never go the other way because, you know, the greed in the game and the money they want to, you know, the money that's involved. I mean, I can't remember if it's this season or next season. There's the Champions League format changes, and that's going to be even. Is it groups of 10 or something? And that's going to be even more games. I don't think you have to play each team twice, but it's still more games though, isn't it? Because you only play six, and then you're still going to have to play at least nine games in the group stages if there's 10 teams. So
I don't know how
don't know how you fit it all in.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, I mean, isn't the European Championships is next summer? Like, is the season after this one, right?
I mean, I think if you're in the Champions, I think if you're in Europe, you don't enter the League Cup, Carabao Cup, personally.
I thought Carabao Cup is a valid trophy.
It is, but there's gonna be some give and take somewhere. I know you get to enter it a bit later, but it's just too many games to play, isn't it? I mean, that's why. I mean, we won the Carabao Cup. We went all the way to the final in the FA Cup. We got to the quarterfinals in the UEFA Cup, Europa League, whatever they call it nowadays.
Yeah, I can't remember who you played, but I think. Yeah, did you lose to Sevilla, right?
Yeah, so you know it's big. You know it's big runs in all the cup competitions.
Yeah, and I mean they're intense games as well. Like I'm so glad that we went out of the Europa League when we did. You know, even if we didn't win the title, but I think the games would have just killed us even more.
That's why. So you know, it is really difficult. I don't know how you address it, because it's only going to get more games, I think.
Yeah, and I mean, yeah, it is pretty concerning. I hope that the Footballers Union is kind of on it, but I suppose we'll see. But I know why you brought this up. You're trying to avoid talking about Man United.
No, not at all.
So, Monday you played Wolverhampton Wanderers, who recently just sacked Julian Lopetegui, I believe is his name, and have made amazing signings, or rather signing of Matt Doherty, and sold Ruben Neves and their star striker in Raul Jimenez. So, of course, the stage was set for them to beat you.
it really was. I mean, this is the thing. The stranger things have happened.
It feels like all the cruelty in the world was coming to get you that day. I don't know what it was, but for some reason they just played out their skin, and for some reason you weren't quite firing. I don't know. What do you think was wrong?
I think it was the presence of a proper striker through the middle. We went with Anthony, I think, I might get these the wrong way around, so you have to bear with me. Anthony on the left and Garnacho on the right, I think.
And you might be the other way around, potentially.
Yeah, I knew I'd probably get it the wrong way around. I do get my lefts and rights muddled up, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's fine.
And Rashford through the middle, and it just didn't really seem to be working. I think we would have been better with he was apparently fit, or from what I heard, he was fit with
Martial
through the middle. Obviously, you'd want Hoyland there eventually, but he's got a slight knock and not quite ready. And Ten Hag is on about introducing him to proceedings slowly, so we'll just have to see. He might not come into the side straight away, but the summit wasn't quite clicking. They might just take a while, yeah. With Mount, a new player. And whatnot, just to get everything clicking and playing how Ten Hag wants us to play. Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, yeah, it's a you change one player in the midfield and it can suddenly feel like a very different team. You know, changing it from Eriksen to Mount, you know, they're not the same player. And I think Mount is a better player, and I'm sure kind of they will be a bit better. But I don't know. It just seemed like the distances kind of between the players and kind of the structure just seemed a bit off. Like Casemiro was going forward and no one really covered him at points, and then there was just too many spaces between. I don't know, it was a bit odd. It was weirdly not disciplined for a Ten Hag team, and he's usually like very strict, so I feel like.
Yeah, and until he put his pass in the lead to the goal, I don't think Bruno Fernandes had his best game really. But there were positives. There were instances, especially towards the end of the first half, where we attacked and looked like we might find a goal. But as I say, play seemed to break down at the final third because there wasn't like a proper target man.
Yeah, I mean, not really much creativity either, I guess. Or the weird things, I thought like Rashford would make a few more runs behind, or Garnacho, or someone would dribble, but everything just kind of seemed to grind to a halt. I mean, it would kind of be recycled.
Yeah, well, I think it's well known that Rashford does prefer to be out on the left rather than through the middle, and that's where most of his goals came from last season. So I think if he's available, we'll even try Sancho there again, like they did in pre-season, put someone else in that through the middle, and have Rashford on the left.
I think two positives for Juve. I think Sancho, as you mentioned, I thought he looked very good.
I must admit, I was quite impressed when he came on.
It seems like he's starting to find his mojo again, which I think is good to see, because I mean, it's taken him a long time. He's got a lot of abuse from United fans and the rest of like everyone else who watches football, so it's good to kind of see him kind of start to find who he is. You know, it's about time. And also, I thought Wan-Bissaka was really good for you, probably the best player in your defence.
Well, yeah, certainly in defence, but I think we saw some of the same issues that he seems to struggle with going forward. But yeah, definitely there was a couple of tackles there that I think saved our skins. So but I think this is where I've been stuttering, because I've been trying to remember the Wolves player that was causing us all sorts of problems with his runs.
I believe it was Cunha. Cunha was...
Nesu
was doing a little bit as well, to be fair.
And I think I remember a player beginning with an M, so I think Mario Lemina as well. I think both of them were causing us all sorts of problems with with runs and that, but they just had no cutting edge at all. Every time they had most of the shots were just dire. When he came on, Hwang had a couple of good chances as well, but his end product just wasn't there at all. And if that's what they're going to be offering up, I do think they're going to struggle unless they've got the funds to bring some sort of goal scorer in personally.
Yeah, I mean, you'd imagine versus other teams who aren't as good as United, and even if you didn't have a good performance, you're still a good team. You'd imagine they probably would score at least one or two goals with the chances that they made, at least. But I don't know. I expected the worst from Wolves, and I thought they were really good. So it's good to kind of see there's still a little bit of life in them.
Yeah, but it's whether they can keep it up. I mean, as you say, it's easy to up your game when you're playing the big clubs like United and City and Chelsea. Teams play seem to find that extra bit of something when, they're up against the top teams, and, they've got it week out and week in against your Fulhams and your Crystal Palaces as well.
Luton, yeah. But, we'll see if they improve and keep it up.
I mean, it doesn't matter how well you play. If you can't score goals, you're going to be in all sorts of trouble.
Well, they potentially could have had a penalty, which we have to get into it at some point, don't we?
No, and it was a very bizarre decision because even VAR looked at it and didn't give anything, and they've had to do the usual thing now of issuing apologies, and apparently they've been not selected for this week's run of Premier League games. So it sort of tells you what the people in charge thought of the decision, and whether they battled it because it was at Old Trafford and near the end of the game, I don't know.
It is weird. I mean, I know kind of Old Trafford does kind of have an effect on people.
But I've got to say, the way Wolves were playing, I wouldn't have fancied them to score the penalty, in all honesty.
No, that's fair enough. I mean, it was weird because obviously I think it was like 2 minutes from time. A cross goes, flows it in. It's very near Onana. The player doesn't get it on target. He kind of heads it away somehow. I don't really know how it happens. And Onana clatters a player who's not actually going for the ball. It was all a bit of a weird one. I don't know if it's kind of a technicality of the law that kind of...
Maybe because the ball's already gone out of play or something. I don't
think it did
know.
Actually. I think a cross was put in like 2 seconds later. It was very bizarre. But I mean, apparently O'Neill said that he got an apology. I mean, he also got booked for complaining about it, which I find hilarious but also baffling.
But again, it just shows you VAR, it's still no real consistency even with VAR.
Yeah, and I don't think we're going to get some, but I don't know. I mean, look.
But other than that, clattering, what did you think of Onana? Because I'm going to ask you, because you've been one of the more critical people of David De Gea.
I mean, he didn't react. I don't think he actually had many saves to make during the game. So he's kind of hard to judge him. But I thought his passing was all right. He didn't really have to do much because they didn't really press. What I will say is that obviously after the penalty thing, that whole fiasco, there was a full a cross which was put into the box, and he did an amazing catch to dive out and get it. I think that says a lot about his character. That he I think many other goalkeepers might have been a bit guilty and a bit on edge that they got away with giving away a penalty, but I thought he was straight on it and he caught the ball. And I think that says a lot about him. I don't know. I think I like him.
He looked very assured, and he saved what came at him, even if it wasn't anything super spectacular. I do think he's going to be giving me heart palpitations like Fabian Barthez used to, judging by his foul. But what can you do? And also, while we're on the subject of goalkeepers, I know we've already covered Arsenal, but how do you think David Raya will fit in, and Would he get many games? Would he get played ahead of Ramsdale, do you think?
I think he'll get games. I don't know when, but I feel like it will come from, and I feel like he'll do quite well. It's always a bit of a weird one. I know a lot of goalkeepers said that it's a bad idea because goalkeepers are a very weird bunch and competition doesn't always go very well for them. But I think Ramsdale is kind of the character who I think he probably would actually thrive on something like this. He kind of thrives on adversity. And I feel like usually it's his performances at home when the pressure's off, when he does a bit more shit and he's amazing versus Liverpool away or Spurs away. So I don't know, maybe this is a good decision for him. And I mean, I think David Raya is a very good keeper. So
he's perhaps the best backup keeper in the Premier League.
I think he might be, yeah. I mean, he's probably the strongest backup I could think of, maybe since Romero for you guys, who I thought was absolutely fantastic.
Oh, Romero was all. I thought we were pretty harsh the way we let him go and everything, because he was an awesome backup keeper. I think he only conceded like two or three goals in his whole career. It might be a couple more than that, but it was very few.
Yeah.
You always knew you didn't have to worry when he had to play, because top class goalkeeper.
I mean, I know. I wonder if maybe because he was like a similar age to De Gea. I don't know if that's kind of why he's moved on. Because I think he's slightly older. But yeah, I don't know. I kind of wish he had a bit more games, because I thought he was really good.
But goalkeepers are a funny position, going back to what you're saying about competition, because they do seem to be the one player that managers will not mess around with too much. Mm. They like to have a set of goalkeeper, and unless there's an injury or maybe the League Cup, it's very rare they swap the goalkeeper out, because they might swap wingers around or midfielders around, but the goalkeeper just tends to be that one constant, don't they?
Yeah, because it changes the vibe of the defence. You go from like David Seaman to David Lehman. They're obviously very good goalkeepers, but they're very different kind of characters. Just like PSG, they had Keylor Navas and Giorgio Donnarumma, or however you say his first name. And it didn't quite work for them. I think the jury is still slightly out on Donnarumma, even though he's a good goalkeeper. I think he's a bit weird for PSG, but I don't know. It never seems to work well having two strong keepers. So
no, because one, they've got a lot of belief. You've got to have a lot of belief in yourself, and if one's not getting enough games, they're going to get agitated and look for, look elsewhere for chances. Which you can't blame them.
No, absolutely. And I want to say one thing on Inanna before we move on. And this is specifically for Richard Keys, because obviously, I'm sure you're seeing this. But he was a bit critical of Onana replacing De Gea. I think he's going to be a better goalkeeper for you than De Gea was. A better fit, at the very least. He's going to make mistakes, and he's going to let in some silly goals, but I think he's going to, get you more points than De Gea would, personally.
I mean, there might be more to this than I know, but I do find it telling that as a free agent, David De Gea hasn't been picked up yet.
Yeah,
maybe his wage demands are a bit overboard, but there was talk at Real Madrid, and when their goalkeeper got injured, and Carlo thought he'd just shut that down straight away, and he'd gone in for Kepa instead.
I think Kepa's a decent replacement.
I'm not saying Kepa's not he's a good goalkeeper or anything. He certainly looked better when Frank Lampard started in playing him a bit more. One of the few
players who improved, really.
Yeah, one of the few players who looked okay in Chelsea that season. Sorry, a message from Nathan or you flashed up and it can it distracted me.
Nathan's a manager, ladies and gentlemen.
But I do find it weird that he's available on as a free agent, and he's still clubless. maybe not being able to do anything with your feet as a goalkeeper isn't very fashionable these days.
Yeah, because I mean, Courtois was good at it. I mean, I've seen him linked to Bayern Munich, which I kind of get, because I mean, they need a goalkeeper.
Yeah, they're quite desperate for a goalkeeper as well.
Yeah, but I mean, he was on like 370k a week at United. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know if, you know, they put their expected salary out there, their agents and that might be putting clubs off as well if he still thinks he should be picking up 300k a year or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, just go to Saudi. Like, if you want to keep that, you want to keep that level, I'm sure there'll be loads of Saudi clubs looking after him. I mean, Neymar's gone there now.
Yeah, yeah. Wild. And yeah, at first I was hearing that he wasn't interested in going to Saudi at this point in his career, but things weren't clicking at PSG, and both parties wanted him gone from there for whatever reason. So yeah.
Yeah, and you know, he's had a lot of criticism. So hopefully he can just go somewhere and be happy. And I'm sure they'll let him visit his sister on her birthday. So I'm sure he won't magically get injured, but you never know. But yeah, with that, I guess, is there anything else in the Premier League which has stood out to you? Any fun games caught your eye?
Yeah, I was quite surprised with the Newcastle Villa result, only because Villa seemed to have made some decent signings, and they finished quite strongly last season. And you know, to go down, I know it was at St James's, and Newcastle are a very good team nowadays. I'm still surprised they went down 5-1. To be honest, I thought that'd be a bit closer than that.
Their back line was all over the place.
Yeah, I can see why we didn't go in for Pau Torres now. There were rumours a season or two ago that I think when we were looking at Varane that we might have brought him in, but
I think everyone was looking at Pau Torres at one point.
Yeah, there was one game in the World, I think it was the World Cup or the Euros for Spain, where he seemed to be all over the place, and I remember texting Nathan saying, you know what, I've got off this Pau Torres idea now.
Yeah, I think him and Diego Carlos, I don't know, something about that just seems...
He might get there. We've seen it before, especially defenders, when they come into the Premier League. I mean, if you remember, Vidic and Evra had a right nightmare in their first match for us, and everyone was writing them off, but they got there eventually and became two very important players for us. So sometimes the intensity and the speed of the Premier League catches players out to begin with.
Yeah, and to be fair, he was coming on for Mings, who just suddenly got injured. So I do think that was a contributing factor. And I think also Newcastle are just very good.
Oh yeah, they are. I don't think they're that good, and Villa are that bad though. So we'll see what shakes out. But he's a good again, if that's how you say his name. Wilson again. He looked really good. Their new midfielder, Tonali, is it?
Tonali, I think, yeah.
Tonali. He scored on his debut in pretty quick fashion, so he looks like he's going to be a good player for them. So, all in all, Newcastle look like in a good place, and Eddie Howe as manager looks like a more shrewd idea the more you see Newcastle playing.
Yeah, I think everyone who predicted he might be gone by Christmas, I think they ruined their words a little bit now.
I definitely think he could be an England manager in the future, the way he's gone about the job at Newcastle.
I think he must be first in line. I mean, it's either him or Potter. But I mean, I don't even know what Potter's going to do.
I don't know if I'd have Potter after the disaster at Chelsea, to be honest.
Yeah. Actually, speaking of Chelsea, I think probably the last major thing about Chelsea, their summer transfer spending has been insane. Like,
again. They finally brought in a couple of DMs, which watching them on Sunday, Liverpool, they definitely needed, because their defence was all over the shop. And the same can be said for Liverpool as well. They need somebody, but Chelsea keep beating them to the punch somehow.
Yeah, they've signed Lavia and Casado, and now I think Olise as well.
I wonder if the fact that they suddenly turned away from Lavia, saying they wouldn't pay that amount of money, and then went and offered like virtually twice as much for Casado, probably made Lavia think, well, hang on, how much do they really want me if they're gonna do that? I mean, it would certainly make me have doubts about wanting to join them. If they won't pay 60 million for me, but they're willing to pay 110 million for Casado. And then, you know, in the press conference, they announced they've made an agreement. And then when they're trying to arrange their medical, Casado tells them that, look, I've agreed terms with Chelsea. That's where I want to go.
It's just embarrassing.
Very embarrassing.
Like, sorry, go on.
I was going to say very embarrassing, and then to lose out to Lavia, I can't say his name. Lavia. I'm sorry, Lavia. I do apologise. I'm very bad at my pronunciations, as we all know. It's to lose out on two players like that. I don't know why Chelsea won. Feel they need both of them. And what was it? Casado on a 10-year deal.
I think it's an 8-year deal for nine.
Excuse me.
8 years of an option of nine, which is, I mean, that just seems, I mean, I shouldn't say slave contract, because I'm sure he's getting paid very well, but that seems way too long to have a player for.
It is, but I don't think they can stretch the payment of the transfer out that long. I think that's what they were doing originally when they were doing these long deals.
Mm.
But they did change up where they have to be paid
within five, right?
Yeah. So you might be there for that amount of time, but they've got to pay the transfer fee within half of that. And the trouble is, though, what if he doesn't? You know, he probably will work out. He's a fantastic player, but not every player you bring into a new team does work out. So you know, you're stuck with paying a lot of high wages for a lot of money. If it doesn't work out, you might be struggling to get rid of, unless Saudi come to your rescue, because they did seem to take quite a lot of players off their hands this summer.
Yeah, and I mean, Mudryk hasn't worked out very well so far. So I mean, I think we're kind of seeing a bit of an example of that at the moment. Obviously, they paid a lot of money for him. So I don't know. The midfield three of Lavia, Caicedo, and Enzo Fernandez. That is a very good midfield.
Yeah, I'm not saying Enzo Fernandez isn't a good player, because he is, but he is not a 100 million player or whatever you paid for him. Maybe a 50, 60 million player, but unless he really starts to come good, I end up eating my words, but it does look like they've overplayed for him.
Yeah, and I mean, with the amount they're spending, I believe the amount they've amortized is around about 150 per season.
Crazy, isn't it?
Which means that every season they're paying 150, which is, that's a lot of money. And I don't know, I mean, maybe Todd Boehly, I mean, Todd Boehly seems to be happy to fund this thing, and he must have some idea of what he's doing. Jesus Christ.
He certainly has from a business aspect by the sounds of it, but it's a very difficult job for a manager, because there's been so many ingoes and outgoings over the last two windows. I mean, you need a bit of stability there to gel. I mean, that's why teams like, you've seen with City, United and Arsenal, they buy three or four players, maybe five at the most, just to boost what you've already got. And then, you know, and they sold no end of players, like, you know, Mount and who went to AC Milan, were you there, Liam?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Who was it who went to AC Milan?
From Chelsea.
Yeah.
It was Ruben Loftus-Cheek.
That's it, Loftus-Cheek.
And also Pulisic as well.
And didn't you say he scored on his debut?
He scored a hat-trick, which is quite impressive.
So, they were big Chelsea men who've been there for a fair few seasons. And, almost especially Mount, Spine as a team player. And yeah, they sold Havertz to you as well. Mm-hmm. So he is quite a big upheaval to sort of bring all these players together and get them to gel all of a sudden. I mean, they didn't look too bad against Liverpool at times, it has to be said. But it's both teams lacking DM. Well, in that game, they were both lacking DM.
Oh,
so it's hard to judge of. On one game, we'll have to see how they do going forward against other teams.
Yeah, I mean, at the moment, from what I'm hearing, in terms of links, especially Romano, it looks like Lewis Hall might be the next one to go. Apparently, Newcastle and maybe Arsenal might be looking at him. Which I think he's a good player. And in terms of Liverpool, they've actually just made a bid for the Japanese midfielder Endo. Stuttgart.
Because we look at that player, we've been interested in Amberat, but I think we've got to wait for whatever move Donny Van de Beek's supposed to be making before we can make any more. We've got to have the right amount of outgoings before we can bring someone in. I think they are quite keen to bring him in, but it depends if Donny Van de Beek ends up leaving the club, I think. So that might not happen for us. I don't know if we'll be bringing any more defenders in if Maguire's going to be staying, because they were looking at a couple of options defence, but I think that was only if Maguire went. So our business might be done now. You don't know. I wouldn't mind another midfielder coming in, looking at how things were at Wolves, but things might settle down. I mean, we started off far worse last season and managed to get it together in the end, so we'll just have to see.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the thing was with someone like Casemiro, obviously he's amazing, but you never know if he might get suspended during the season. I mean, he's also getting a bit older as well, so injuries might happen. He might lose a bit of pace and, something there. So I don't know.
Yeah, I'd definitely like us to bring someone else in, but we'll just see. There's still 3 weeks or so of the transfer window left, is it? 2 or 3 weeks?
Yeah, 2 or 3 weeks. So I think it's going to be very interesting. I think we're going to see a lot of movement, which is always fun. But hopefully our club signs someone.
Do you still like to see your club bring someone else in as well?
I think so. I think with the Timber injury, someone...
Yeah, that's a really big blow. Someone you just brought in, getting an injury like that. So do feel sorry for the lad. So hopefully he brings someone in.
Yeah, even like just a loan for him and maybe a right winger as well. I know we've been linked with Mohamed Kudus, but he potentially might be going to West Ham. So I guess we just have to watch this space and see what happens. What about you? Who are you hoping for? CDM mainly?
Yeah, that Amberat, if I'm saying the name right, he looks a really good player in the World Cup. I think he's someone we could really do with. He wouldn't be too costly, but again, so we can play with FFP and all that. I think we do need another midfielder to leave the club in some fashion to free up wages and whatnot to be able to bring him in. So we're just going to have to see on that one. But he is apparently keen to join if the deal can be done.
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess I think that won't happen. I think you'll get that one over the line. So it'll be interesting. I'm who knows? By the time we might next record, the window might even be close. Hell, the winter window might be even open sometime. You never know.
Who knows?
But with that, I think it's time for the Patricks. I assume you don't have one ready.
Well, I did want to say before we went on to there, a couple more. I do think we might be safe on our talk of Luton going down. They didn't play too good against Brighton. I know Brighton are good, but they lost 4-1. It's not very encouraging.
Yeah, my vibes prediction wasn't very strong.
Everton lost for Fulham, so I'm quite confident on my pick of them to go down this season. They haven't really been able to bring too many players in. I do think they're going to struggle. And City just look like City. Whether bit of a blow for them with Kevin De Bruyne. I've been out for an extended amount of time. Whether that will affect them long term, it might not look like it will short term, but he is an important player for them on and off the pitch.
It'll be a miss for sure, especially if more injuries start piling up.
Yeah, especially since he lost Gundogan as well. So, you know, going to Barcelona.
Yeah, Kovacic has a bit of a task in his hand now.
Because Gundogan was someone who was last season, especially picking up the slack when De Bruyne wasn't playing well or wasn't available. So I do think that could be a miss for them if it's, you know, if he's out for as long as they're saying he could be out for.
Yeah, it's a bit concerning. I mean, I still think City have a very good chance.
Oh, definitely. They've got great strength and depth. And I don't think you'll feel his miss straight away. But if he's going to be out for 6 months or whatever, I think there will come a point where, you know, they could find themselves wanting without him. But they might not, you know. I might just be talking gibberish and they'll just push everyone aside like they normally do.
I hope they do. I hope they really, really miss him personally. I think we both do. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see how City do over the next few weeks. I think Newcastle is my next game, so that'll be very interesting. I'm really looking forward to that game, to be honest. But yeah, I guess with that, Carl, this has been a lot of fun actually. I've really enjoyed the podcast. It's nice not to have a Welsh man with us or a Brummy.
I know. Yeah.
Just two upper class gentlemen talking together. God, yeah. We never would have seen the day. But I have a Patrick this week. You can ruminate and think whilst I give mine if you want.
Okay, yeah, sounds like a plan.
I'm going for Santi Cazorla, who signed for Real Oviedo today, who are in the second Spanish division. And he's chosen to take the minimum salary, which I think is 5k a week for a second division player. And he wants all his shirt sales, or actually 5% of his shirt sales, to go towards the club's academy. I believe they're his boyhood club, or one of his first clubs. So I just think that's a really nice gesture. So yeah, fair play to Santi. I always liked him as a player, and he seems like a very good man as well.
I'm going to go for whoever that chap was who ran onto the pitch during our game against Wolves. I mean, he had a fair head of hair on him, to be fair to him.
Maybe it's Fellaini.
I'm back, bitches.
Hey, you can probably do it for me at the moment, to be honest. Oh, jeez. Well, you know what? As a special week with just the two of us, I say they both go in.
Exactly, yeah. There's no third party.
Yeah. Well, actually, no. As Reese isn't here, and as he isn't listening to this podcast at this point, I think we should also put women's football in.
Yes.
Women's football is the Patrick of this week. So Carl.
God, if he listens to this, he's gonna kill us.
Oh Jesus, he's a lot to kill me about. Jesus Christ. Carl, do you have any plugs?
They're all up my butt right now, but God.
Oh God.
You said far worse, and when I say something, I get the old Jesus Christ.
I just expect better.
Tave compared to what you come out with. You can find me at Carlos_Fire80 on all your socials, X as it's called now, Fred's Instagram. And you can also find us at Rogue_Opinions on all the same socials as well. And just while we're talking about the socials, I haven't finished my plug yet, but do you still find yourself looking for the Bird app when you want to go on X or Twitter and get all confused because you can't find what you're looking for? A couple of times I've gone off, I can't find my Twitter app, and then I've remembered, oh yeah, it's a flipping X on a black background now.
See, I've purposely chosen not to update it. I'm holding out. I didn't want to, but it just did it on its own.
I still had the bird for a good couple of weeks after they changed it, but then it just did it. And I was like, no!
Stupid porn up. Bloody X. Why the hell would you choose X?
Because it's Elon Musk and he's a knob.
He is a knob. But you can find me.
With Scott on Pod in Name Easy. We did a review of our last pod was a review of the Guardians of the Galaxy 3 film. We'll also be reviewing the Ahsoka series when that debuts. We're hoping to get the first two episodes that they're releasing done that week, but Scott has got all in to go to, so scheduling might knack things up on that, but we will try and do our best on that one. And that's it for now on the podcasting, recent podcasting front. Sorry, over to you to do your plugs, Liam.
No, that was very good. You could find me in your closet and in your head. Thank you, everyone, for listening.
I've taken a drink then. I nearly spat it out like they're doing films with laughing.
You're welcome, everybody. See you soon.